Today's February 19th, 2015. This is a Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources. Today we're going to be holding some public hearings and work sessions on several grant requests. But before we do that, we'll turn it over to Mr. Seaver.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the analyst for the Department of Energy wanted me to remind you that there are five items in OLIS now under the February 16th date, answering some questions the subcommittee had and providing some background materials.
All right, thank you. So we'll go ahead and open up a public hearing on the DEQ's air toxic monitoring grant request and bring up Dick Peterson.
Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, good morning. For the record, my name is Dick Peterson, Director of Oregon's Department of Environmental Quality, and I'm here today to request retroactive approval to apply for federal funding from two Environmental Protection Agency grant opportunities. In both these cases, DEQ submitted 10-day notification letters to the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House, letting them know that DEQ was unable to meet the timeline for the December legislative days, but planned to apply and seek retroactive approval. Both grants are related to diesel emissions, and if approved, could support work for which DEQ does not currently have sufficient funding. The first grant is a request for $2 million to improve air quality by reducing emissions from diesel-powered cargo handling equipment and trucks used in freight movement at the Port of Portland, rail yards, fuel terminals, and other freight facilities. DEQ partnered with the Port of Portland and the Oregon Trucking Association in developing the grant proposal. The project would assist private fleets with the installation of advanced exhaust controls on cargo handling equipment operated in North Portland and replacing trucks used in freight movement with late model, low emission diesel trucks. There's a 50% match requirement for replacing vehicles, and all match amounts would be paid for by the fleets that are getting the grants from DEQ. The state would not be required to provide any match. Existing DEQ staff would manage that grant. The second grant is for $568,572 to investigate public health impacts by better quantifying diesel emissions from significant but not well understood sources such as rail activity, construction, distribution centers, and marine vessels. DEQ and partners, Portland State University and Reed College, would identify two Portland neighborhoods of high vulnerability to diesel emissions and conduct important monitoring and analysis. Both PSU and Reed College have specific facility expertise and capacity in diesel emission monitoring that will allow them to take a lead in research and analysis. DEQ will use the data from the study to revise risk estimates that were originally modeled in the Portland Air Toxic Solutions Project that was done in 2011, and will communicate study results to inform future emission reduction measures if necessary. DEQ estimates that the need for a full-time limited duration position for 6 months to perform further data analysis and modeling would be necessary. There are no match requirements for this grant. DEQ is not seeking any increase in federal limitation or additional FTE at this time. If the committee approves this request and grants are awarded to DEQ, we will return for additional limitation and limited duration positions for the 2015-17 biennium. And that's my presentation. Certainly be happy to answer any questions if you have them.
And Ms. Connolly, did you have any comments?
Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, Kathy Connolly from the Chief Financial Office. We are here to indicate our approval and request that the committee retroactively approve the application for these federal grants.
Okay. Is there any questions from the committee members? All right, and with that, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on the air toxics monitoring and reducing diesel emissions grant requests. And we'll open up a public hearing on the Department of Fish and Wildlife's grant requests. First grant request, Columbia Land Acquisition. Second grant request, Klamath Basin Water Rights. And the third grant request, the Elliott State Forest Management Plan. Staff, do you?
Mr. Chair, I would just note that also the LFO analysis and the request letters are also posted on OLS for all these grants.
For all those watching on our TV, congratulations to our new director of ODFW, Mr. Melcher.
Thank you.
Director Melcher.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Rayfield. For the record, yes, my name is Kurt Melcher. I'm the newly appointed director at the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And we have, we too are here seeking retroactive approval for three federal grant applications. We did notify the Speaker and the President of the Senate back in January regarding our intent to apply for these. All three of these are Section 6 Endangered Species Act related grants. They're come to us through the Department of Interior, the United States Fish and Wildlife Service. Only agencies that have a cooperative agreement with the Department of Interior are eligible to apply for these grants. So we are applying for these grants on behalf of conservation partners, as you'll see in our, as you may have seen in our letters. So first of all, with regard to the Columbia Land Trust application, let me get my paperwork straight here. And I do have Nadia Gardner here in the room today as well from the Columbia Land Trust as well. But the Columbia Land Trust request is for a federal grant application. I would also point out that none of these applications are using any state fish and wildlife dollars for match. The Columbia Land Trust application is for a property acquisition down in the Westport area, which is on the lower Columbia. It is important habitat for endangered, actually threatened, soon to be threatened, listed lower Columbia white-tailed deer, as well as other ESA listed species. For us, many of these projects like these are important in that we may be focused on endangered species or threatened species, but there are great collateral benefits to all wildlife in the area. So the Columbia Land Trust is here as well to answer questions on the specific project, and we would seek your approval to apply retroactively. With regard to the Klamath Basin Rangeland Trust application, again, this is another pass-through. We're applying on behalf of this conservation partner. They are working in the Klamath Basin as it relates to both listed bull trout, as well as in the bigger picture, the Klamath Basin Agreement. And this project is a small piece of that larger effort in the Klamath Basin. This is working with private landowners on water right acquisition for in-stream use, provides benefits to fish and wildlife, also provides benefits to downstream irrigators in terms of providing water availability. We did a similar project like this in the, I believe it was the 2011 session, and these are all competitive grants, so there's, you know, we're not guaranteed that we're going to receive these grants. But in 2011, we were successful with the Klamath Basin Rangeland Trust in receiving a similar grant for a different effort with a private landowner. And then lastly, we have a grant application on behalf of the Department of Forestry and the Department of State Lands. They're currently in the process working on the Elliott Forest, and one of their alternatives is to develop a habitat conservation plan for the entire Elliott Forest. To do that, we're applying for a federal grant to help fund that work. And I do have staff from the Department of State Lands as well as the Department of Forestry in the room here today to answer any specific questions on that effort. Again, I believe the Department of State Lands, they won't know until later this year whether the habitat conservation plan is the particular direction that they're going to go with the Elliott Forest. Nonetheless, the application deadline was January 23rd, so we needed to apply now on their behalf. All of these, again, just want to mention, no fish and wildlife match. There is a 25% match requirement, but none of those matches are coming from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. We're simply passing those through. And if successful, we will be back probably in the summer or fall of 2015 to seek limitation to accept any or all of these grants to then pass through to our partners. And I'd be happy to answer any questions or have the appropriate staff come forward to answer those questions.
Yes, Senator Hansel.
Thank you, Chair. I found with interest on Columbia County land acquisition. Are the white-tailed deer there different than the white-tailed deer in the Blue Mountains? Because we'd be happy to share a whole herds of them with our colleagues in Columbia County.
Absolutely. Co-Chair Rayfield, Senator Hansel, they are a different species. Columbian white-tailed deer are a unique individual species. They occur actually in two populations in Oregon, on the lower Columbia River, generally in the floodplain, and in the Umpqua Valley near Roseburg. The population in Roseburg was recently delisted. They had been listed as threatened. They were delisted, I want to say, about 3 years ago. We were successful in recovering that particular population. We're having similar successes on the lower Columbia population. They're currently listed as endangered under the federal act, but in the near future, we're expecting them to be downlisted to threatened. And that, just as a side note, the downlisting from endangered to threatened is a really important piece of the recovery project, in that when species are listed as threatened, we can enter into agreements with private landowners that essentially provide them protection from take associated with an endangered species. And that gives them great first comfort, knowing that they don't have to face federal take prohibitions related to an endangered species, but also they're much more willing to do recovery actions that then ultimately lead to the delisting of the species, which is exactly what happened in Roseburg with that population.
Senator Dembrough.
Thank you, Chair Rayfield. Kurt, congratulations again.
Thank you.
Great to have you here as the director. I have a question about the Klamath request. So the project seems like a really good one, but everything about the Klamath is controversial. Is there going to be controversy around this one?
Co-Chair Rayfield, Senator Dembrough, I think, as you point out, there's always controversy on anything related to the Klamath Basin. I think the fact that this is part of the bigger picture, it is a piece of the long-term Klamath Basin agreement in terms of restoring in-stream flows. It does also satisfy some tribal water right issues in terms of their ability to make a call on water, and it essentially lowers the likelihood that they would ever make a call. And it is truly cooperative. We're working, and the Klamath Basin Rangeland Trust, I really encourage you all to look at the work that they're doing. It's cooperative work. It's with large working landholders, and it truly has benefits for both the landowner, the ecosystem, as well as adjacent or other water users in the individual basin. So I'm not going to tell you that there won't be some shred of controversy, but this is the second of these that we've brought to you over the last 4 years, and it is a good project, and it's incremental progress on the bigger picture.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Clint.
Thank you. I just need refresh. Didn't we try a habitat conservation plan on the Elliott for maybe 8 or 10 years? We tried, and then eventually gave up and went to take avoidance or something. I remember my first few terms here, we kept getting promises that HCP was just around the corner, and then I think we gave up finally.
Yeah. Co-Chair Rayfield, Representative Clem, I would really defer to the department. Maybe they're coming forward, or if you would like to call them forward.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and call. Department of Forestry, I guess.
Yeah, sorry. Good morning, Co-Chair Rayfield, Representative Clem. For the record, I'm Justin Buttress. I work for the Department of Forestry Division, State Forest Division, excuse me. Yes, we did pursue a habitat conservation plan on the Elliott for a number of years, and ultimately were unsuccessful in those efforts and did go to take avoidance. Recently, for the past year and a half, we've been renegotiating with the services and reinvigorated that process. And I would characterize actually that we're quite optimistic that we've actually arrived at a place where we would be successful with an HCP on the Elliott. We're very close in terms of the strategies. So,
I've heard that a lot of times before. So just, if I might follow up, just so I understand the mechanics, no ODF&W license dollars, no state tax dollars. We're requesting a federal grant to then negotiate with the feds about whether they want to give us more grants or finally cut a deal on this.
Chair Rayfield, Representative Clem, there would be no ODF&W dollars coming from or from ODF&W, excuse me, for this effort. The grant that we're applying for is a planning grant. It comes from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It would be for doing the NEPA process that's involved. So if the Department of State Lands and State Land Board makes the decision to pursue an HCP, then we would use those dollars to go through the NEPA process and do a draft EIS. So there would be no dollars coming from ODF&W, and the funds would be used to fund the planning effort of the HCP.
And I think staff has a
comment. Mr. Chair and Representative Clem, I just wanted to note for the record that the grant would include a $1.6 million matching from the Common School Fund, Department of State Lands. And that would come from the money that they normally give the Department of Forestry, I believe, for management of the forest.
Yes, Chair Rayfield, that would be correct. That's the funds that are normally appropriated for management of the Elliott.
Your follow-up?
That doesn't sound like as good of a deal. The DSL the land board, is responsible for the Common School Fund. Did the land board vote that they want to have an HCP as one of the options that then would allow for, because what I understood the initial presentation was this would just be to spend some of this grant money to potentially put one option on the table for the land board as a way to move forward on the Elliott. Before we take a dime out of the Common School Fund, I guess I want to make sure that's what the land board is interested in, is having $1 million of match, because this did not work before. Why that would be a good idea this time, I would need to be sold on that if I were on the land board. You know, the Elliott's not the state's legislature's control, but this is making me more nervous the more I'm thinking about it.
Co-Chair Rayfield, Representative Clem. I'm Jim Paul, Assistant Director overseeing the Common School Fund Property Program at the Department of State Lands. I can, it's a very good question. I can hopefully clarify that there. The $1.6 million in matching funds would come out of the existing proposed budget that ODF has for managing Common School Fund lands for the next biennium. Their total operating budget with personal services and SNS is above $7 million for 2 years. It's the cost of managing the forest. In terms of that 1.6 piece of that budget that potentially could be put towards this effort, that would all depend actually on some additional direction. Some additional direction would have to be provided by the land board that could be as soon as June. So this grant request, if we were to be successful, would keep that option open in case the land board ultimately does decide and direct DSL to pursue an HCP. Right now we don't have that final direction. And if that were to occur, what we would essentially do is repurpose the FTEs and monies that would have gone towards continued management of the Elliott and direct it at the effort towards completing an HCP.
So it's plausible that they decide not to go forward with an HCP, then we don't pursue this grant, or we...
Correct. Co-Chair Rayfield, Representative
Clem. But we don't use it or something like that?
Correct. That is correct. And to clarify, we currently do not have direction to pursue the HCP. We were provided at the December State Land Board meeting. They actually gave us a time limit of 5 months to determine whether or not it was worth continuing down the path of an HCP. And that 5 months, I believe, it takes us through the end of April. So by the, within that time frame, we will know whether or not we think it's a viable path to pursue.
Senator Hansel.
As a follow-up to what Representative Clem, is there a reason why we can't wait until they decide to pursue or not to take action on this particular plan, since it's just two months and a half away?
Yeah, Co-Chair Rayfield, Senator Hansel, the only downside of waiting is that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service budget cycle, so to speak, for these grants coming up for applying for is every January. So if we were to wait, we would have to wait until January 2016 to apply, which could then put us into the summer of 2016 before the monies might come forward. And if we were to move forward in the HCP, we would need those resources much sooner than that.
Follow up. Did the land board know that deadline when they did the 5 month determination? I mean, it kind of that the grant was due in January.
Co-Chair Rayfield, Senator Hansel, this particular issue is not, we did not drill down this far in this particular question about this grant. I would, in terms of the grant process and particulars around what your options are for choosing not to receive the grant and when the awards, I'd have to defer to ODF&W around the steps in that. My understanding is we can always turn back a grant, even if awarded, if we choose we're not going to go ahead, follow through with a commitment in that grant.
Co-Chair Rayfield, Senator Hansel, that's absolutely correct. I think the grants are awarded in the summer. So they're in the competitive process right now, reviewing all the grants. They receive grants for not just from Oregon, but from many states. And so they're in the competitive grant review process right now. And they'll review those grants and award them sometime this summer.
And then the Representative Hack.
Chair Rayfield, thank you. So did you already apply for the grant then if it was due in January? So you've already applied.
Representative or Co-Chair Rayfield, Representative Hack, that's correct. The application deadline was January 23rd, and hence our retroactive request here today to apply.
The one question I had, just because we were on the timing of issues, there's a 10-day notification letter, and it looks like that was submitted a couple days late.
Co-Chair Rayfield, that is correct. I think there was some confusion amongst the agencies on who could actually apply. I think there was a thought that other agencies could apply, and then it became apparent to, I think, all of us that no, only ODFW could apply. And that was essentially, I think it was after 5 p.m. on the 10-day, quote-unquote, 10-day notice deadline. It's a big enough and important issue for the land board that we submitted our request and acknowledged that we were a day late submitting our 10-day notice request through to the speaker and the president. So we felt it was a big enough issue that we were going to beg forgiveness, I guess, if you will, for not achieving the 10-day notice.
Any follow up?
I got a general question.
Yes, Senator Hansel.
On the other two, the Columbia County and the Klamath Basin, do we have this kind of, maybe El Folk could answer this, are there match requirements for those as well, and if so, how much?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hansel, I believe there's a 25% match requirement for all the grants proposed through this program. Sometimes agencies propose match amounts larger than the required match to make their application more attractive. But for the Columbia County land acquisition, I believe part of the match was going to come through a proposed grant application to the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board for lottery funds. From their grant side, they have an acquisition program at OWEB for conservation acquisitions. And I believe that the Klamath Basin acquisition, the grant was going to be possibly lottery fund grant from the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, but also using funds from private foundations and donations as well.
Do we have a total of what we're looking at?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hansel, for the Klamath Basin acquisition, I don't have a total. I mean, the total has to be at least 25%. I would imagine that what the agency, what the interested parties will do is attempt to get that match from private donations, private foundations and donations, and then go with a grant application to OWEB for whatever's missing. That's kind of been past practice to make up the shortfall.
What is the total amount for that we're applying for over the Klamath Basin?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hansel, for the Klamath Basin, it's just under $750,000. It's $740,431.
So the match would be 25% of that? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hearing. That Columbia County land acquisition?
That's correct, sir.
What was that one?
Oh, for the Columbia County, that one was just under $1.4 million at $1,376,786.
Okay. Thank you.
And Director Melcher, do you want to address Senator Hansel's questions?
No, I think Co-Chair Rayfield, Mr. Sieber, did a nice job. I would just add that the total cost of the Klamath Basin Rangeland Trust project is $1.7 million. So they're coming up with match, you know, above and beyond the 25%, and the total cost of the Columbia Land Trust acquisition, the estimated total cost is $3.6 million, and so they're, you know, well in excess of the 25% match requirement for the federal piece of the grant.
Thank you.
And Director Melcher, I think the testimony was earlier that you're not going to be using ODFW funds for the match. And so just to follow up on Senator Hansel's question, exactly, is the match coming from OWEB, or are there other sources where that's coming from?
Sure. Co-Chair Rayfield, that is correct. None of these three grants include any ODFW match component. The project proponents have, as Mr. Sieber pointed out, they're looking at OWEB grants, they're looking at Fish and Wildlife Foundation grants, and private donations, if you will. I think they're working with some other trusts.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions?
I don't know. If I might. It's not necessarily a question, but my nervousness is, I guess, about trying for an HCP again. But on the other hand, that's not really the legislature's call. That's the landlord's call. So I don't know that I necessarily feel like we've got to be a barrier to keeping that option on the table when we're not the ones responsible for that piece of land. But it's I would at least make sure everybody on the land board knows we tried this already once and spent 8 to 10 years doing it, and many of us wanted it either done or finished starting 5 years, you know, moved to something else 5 years ago. We moved to something else. I'd probably want to hear that the something, if I were on the land board at least, I'd want to hear that the something else didn't work either, because it resulted in, you know, by something else I mean take avoidance, but if that's what resulted in the lawsuits that led to essentially the standstill, which has led to it costing money, then maybe that also wasn't the right option. But if this were the other state forest, I would not support this. Let me just put it that way. Given it's a land board's call, I don't feel like it's really our role to be an obstacle to limiting their options, but I would not be willing to go down this route if it were within our jurisdiction to make those decisions.
Thank you. Final questions? All right, seeing none, is there anybody in the audience that wants to come up and testify on behalf of these grants? All right, with that, we'll close the public session, public hearing on the ODFW's grant requests. And we'll stand at ease for a moment. We have a blue light now.
Yes.
All right, we'll call the meeting back to order. And we'll go ahead and open up a work session on the DEQ's air toxics monitoring grant request. And we'll turn it over to Mr. Siebert.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval retroactively of the request to apply for a $568,572 grant to the Environmental Protection Agency to investigate the impacts of diesel emissions from lesser investigated sources.
All right, Ms. Connolly, would you like to comment?
Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, Kathy Conley with Chief Financial Office. The Chief Financial Office also recommends approval of the request for retroactive authorization of DEQ's, both DEQ's grants.
Okay, and based upon those recommendations, we'll look for a motion.
So moved, or do I have to move an actual grant recommendation?
All right, can you, would you like to move the LFO recommendation
to approve? I'd like to move the LFO recommendation to approve the grant request.
All right, Representative Clem moves the approval of the air toxics monitoring grant requests. Are there any objections? All right, seeing no objections, the motion passes.
Carrier.
And Senator Hansel, since you're on full, would you be willing to carry that bill? All right, Senator Hansel will carry the bill to full Ways and Means, and then we'll close the work session and open up a new work session on DEQ's Reducing Diesel Emissions grant request. And we'll turn it over to Ms. Connolly from the CFO's office.
Co-Chair Rayfield, members of the committee, the CFO office recommends approval of the of ODFW's request for retroactive authorization to apply for all three of the grants. Okay.
Ms. Schiebert?
DEQ grant.
That's the DEQ grant.
DEQ
grant. Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval retroactively of the request to apply for a $2 million grant to the Environmental Protection Agency to reduce diesel emissions from freight handling operations in the Portland area.
All right. And do we have a motion to approve LFO's request?
I'll move the LFO recommendation.
All right. Representative Clem moves the LFO recommendation. Are there any objections? All right. Seeing none, the motion passes. And Mr. Gomberg, would you like, Representative Gomberg, would you like to carry that to full?
With pleasure.
All right, thank you. We'll close the work session on the DEQ's Reducing Diesel Emissions bill grant. And we'll open up a work session on ODFW's Columbia County Land Acquisition Grant.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think you've already heard the CFO's recommendation on all three of these grants. LFO is recommending approval retroactively to submit a $1,376,786 federal grant application to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to acquire the Westport Slough property.
All right. Do we have a motion to approve the LFO's recommendation?
I'll move the LFO recommendation be approved.
Once again, Representative Clem moves the LFO recommendation. Are there any objections? Seeing no objections, the motion passes.
Can I make a suggestion, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Since this is in Senator Betsy Johnson's home district and she's a member of the Four Ways and Means, she might want to carry that. And if she doesn't, I'd be happy to do it. This is a suggestion.
Okay. We'll go ahead and put Senator Johnson as the primary carrier to full, and as a backup, Senator Hansel will take it. And with that, we'll close the work session on the Columbia County Land Acquisition Grant. And we'll open up a work session on the Klamath Basin Water Rights grant request.
Mr. Chairman, as the committee, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval retroactively of the request to submit a $740,431 federal grant application to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to acquire irrigation water rights in the Klamath Basin for in-stream transfer.
All right. And do we have a motion from the committee to move the LFO recommendation?
I move, we accept the LFO recommendation, Mr. Chair.
Why, thank you, Representative Clem. Representative Clem moves the LFO recommendation. Do we have any objections to the motion? All right, seeing none, the motion passes. And with that, Representative Gomberg, would you like to carry that to full?
With equal enthusiasm.
Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and close the work session on the Klamath Basin Water Rights Grants application. and we'll open up another work session on the Elliott State Forest Management Plan grant application.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval retroactively of the request to submit a $750,000 federal grant application to U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to complete a multi-species habitat conservation plan for the Elliott State Forest.
All right. Do we have a motion to approve the LFO's recommendation?
Roll. Mr. Chair, I move the committee accept the LFO recommendation.
I would accept no less from you, Representative Clem. Representative Clem moves the LFO's recommendation to approve the Elliott State Forest Management Plan's grant request. Are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion passes. And we have one empty seat at this dais. Would it be appropriate for Senator Devlin to carry this? No?
You okay. Could.
So, all right. In all fairness, I will go ahead and carry the bill. And with that, we'll go ahead and close the work session. And is there any other comments from the committee? With that, we'll adjourn. We'll adjourn.